He said, it will not even stand to be compared to the glory that waits for us over there. Amen? And I'm telling you, I believe that's true, don't you? I believe whatever affliction we go through here, it is just mild in a comparative sense to the glory that we're going to find when we get there with Him. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning just for a few minutes. Please look in the book of Ephesians. Amen. I think Brother Alvin's been going through the book of Ephesians. I don't know, y'all still in it, or you still there? Okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to jump on anything you're doing, but we'll see. Look in Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And we'll start in verse number 13, just kind of give you a little context and a little ground to start with here, so we'll know, you know, what we're all looking at. But Paul is talking, of course, to the church here at Ephesus and trying to give them some encouragement. And as a matter of fact, if you've ever studied it, and we've studied it, looked at it, when you begin to look in the book of Ephesians, we've always said this, chapters 1 through 3 deal with our position or our place in Christ. And then when you get into chapters 4, 5, and 6, it begins with the practical part or your practice in Christ, the things that you're doing. You know, first part's doctrinal, second part's practical. It's just part of that, you know, it's great to have education and book learning and all of that. But somewhere along the line, you got to put that into action. You got to put it into the practice of whatever he's talking about. So that's what Paul says here in this. And, you know, and thinking about that and thinking about him talking to this church at Ephesus, and he talks to them, and I don't know that you ever see him say very much as far as what he thinks about them. He just tells them to be in Christ. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he says, since you are in Christ, here's how you should live, okay? But if you remember over in the book of Revelation in chapter number 2, when John gets that word from the Lord, and he said the first thing that Jesus talked about, he's talking about being amongst the seven churches that are there in Asia, and the first church was the church at Ephesus. And Jesus had some commendable words for them. He talked about their works, and he knew their works and all that. But then if you look on down there, I think it's about verse number 4, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I'm telling you, I think every one of us in this room are capable of the same thing. We might have got fired up like a blowtorch at some time in our life on fire for God, but if you're not careful, you'll lose that zeal, you'll lose that energy, you'll lose that want to, and you'll begin to cool off. You remember how he talked about the church at Laodicea in that same, get over in Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 14 and following, and he talks about how that church there, he said, I wish you as warm, or I wish you as hot or cold. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Let's don't be lukewarm. Either freeze up and let heaven get the heat of heaven after you, or get on fire. And that's what God wants for us, is to be on fire for Him. Amen. I mean, we lukewarm, wishy-washy, back and forth, blah, 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 and we don't know what we are. Amen? But Paul is talking to this church. And you know, to me, here at the end of this chapter number 3, Paul's preacher just breaks loose in him, okay? I mean, as I say, he's been explaining some things to them. But look what he says in verse number 13. He said, wherefore? Now, obviously, he's talking that wherefore is there, talking about what's before all this. Wherefore, he said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, Paul said, I've been through some things. I've had some hard times. Y'all have heard my testimony. You know where I'm from and what I'm about and what's going on. He said, but every bit of that, don't faint because you've seen me go through some hard times. You ever get discouraged sometimes because you see other Christians go through hard times? Well, Paul said, don't. Don't get all tore up because of what's happened to me. He said, but I want to tell you, my tribulations, he said, they're for you. He said, those things are your glory. You ought to look at that and say, glory to God. Paul's been through the fire, but he's still standing. Amen? He's still going. He's still preaching. He's still being the missionary that God's called him to be. He said, for this cause, and he gets into a prayer. He said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you again for loving us, all of your blessings on us. Now I pray now, add your touch to every word that's said, everything that's done. May we give you honor and glory. May you save that one that's lost. May you draw us close to you, make us more like you. Give us that shining. Give us that touch. Give us that desire to be filled with the glory of God. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for everything you do for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice that very last two verses, if you will. Paul says, now unto him. And that's what I'll preach to you about this morning. Now unto him. Now unto him, he said, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As I said, when you get down to those last two verses, Paul's preacher begins to pop out. I mean, he's writing along there and he said, let me encourage him. And then he said, wait a minute. Woo, something's beginning to get on me here a little bit. He said, I've been talking about the Lord and him being in them and him being in me. And all of a sudden, his happy got turned on. All of a sudden, his button got flipped. All of a sudden, he got all on fire from what God had done for him. And he said, let me just tell you, we ought to be saying some things unto him. Amen. There ought to be some things unto God that you and I are worshiping and praising and thanking him for today. Amen. I mean, you know, and as you look at this, first of all, I guess you ask this question. You say, he says, unto him. Who is that unto him he's talking about? Who's the him that's in that phrase, unto him? He's talking about God the Father. Unto him. Because he is the one that he says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. He said, unto him. Boy, I'm telling you, you and I ought to think about him. Amen. And that's what Paul is aiming at, is getting me and you to think about him. As I said, I believe Paul just kind of gets some excitement going on in his heart. He gets some excitement going on with himself. And he said, wow, I'm telling you, this thing ought to be glory unto him. Amen. So I want you to look at this in just a few different ways, if you will, this morning. First of all, as I say, we're talking about him. We're talking about the Father. God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all in here, amen? They're all three in here. They're all three mentioned. Hey, can I tell you, Paul says, let me just put it this way, unto him, amen? We ought to be given, he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I mean, he said, let me just tell you, when you come to church, there ought to be a little bit of glory. Amen? There ought to be. He didn't say come in and sit like a knot on a log. He didn't say come in and be hollow and empty and dead and everything else is 4 o'clock. He said there ought to be some glory in God's church unto him. Amen. Amen. That's what we came for, right? So look at this, if you will, with me. First of all, I want you to think about it this way. I want you to notice, as Paul's talking about unto him, first of all, notice his worth. Notice his worth. Paul says, the Lord is worthy. Amen? Will you agree with me this morning? He's the only one in this building that is worthy to have the church say anything about him. I feel that way. I don't think I've got anything. I don't think you've got anything. I don't think any of us are worth a plug nickel other than the God the Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus, his Son, and the precious Holy Spirit of God. Amen? I mean, I'm not worth anything. I have no worth as far as anything I am outside of him. But in him, I'm an heir of Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Hey, there's worth there, but it's not me. It's everything that he's done for me. Amen? So I want you to notice, first of all, though, his worth. I mean, you think about his worth. And listen, why do we say that we can notice his worth? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that he is the rightful father of worth. Notice what Paul says here in the earlier verses that I read. He says in verse number 14, for this cause, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Of whom the whole family and heaven and earth is named. I want you to know he is the rightful father. Do you know that he's the father of the Jew and the Gentile? He's the father of everyone that's been redeemed. Do you know that the Bible said, and John writes and said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Aren't you glad he's your rightful father? I mean, there's a lot of folks in this world that say, oh, well, we're all part of the family of God. No, sir, you're not until you get born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you've got to be saved. When you get saved, he puts you in the family, and he is the right father for you. He is a rightful father. You see that, man? He's the father of the dead and of the living. Those in heaven, and then there's the saints on earth and the saints in heaven. Thank God, he's the father of us all. Amen? He's the father of all those that are the firstborn. Thank God, after Jesus came forth, he's the first fruits of them that slept. But thank God, the rest of us, we're headed that way, and he is our father. Amen. I got a father, and my father is in heaven. Thank God. My earthly daddy's there now. But thank God I got a heavenly father that's a rightful father. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you, he's worth something because he's the rightful father. Not only is he his worth because of his being the rightful father, his worth is found in the fact that he's the rich father. Amen? You say, well, where does it say that? Well, look here where, again, Paul writes, and he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look what he said in verse 18. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Can I tell you, my father is rich in houses and land. Oh, he holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Thank God I've got the richest father that there ever has been and there ever will be. I don't care if you want to stack up Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and you know, any of them other clowns on this world that think they got some money. They can have trillions. They can have their but thank God I know somebody that's richer than all of them. Amen. Woo! I told you the other night that the preacher in the psalm said this. He said that God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. Can I tell you, some old time preacher out in the country said, yeah, and he owns the taters under the hill. Thank God I got a God that owns it all. Amen. I got a God. He's rich. Our Father is rich. Can I tell you, he's rich. And because he's rich, thank God, he gives generously. God's not some skin flint. God doesn't have it out on a little installment plan. God doesn't say, well, you know what I'm going to do for you today? I'm going to do you about 10 cents worth. I'm going to, y'all remember that back in the days? And I guess sometimes I'm still bad about it. I remember going to the gas station and you pull up and roll down the window and the guy say, yeah, fill her up. And you say, well, give me $5 worth. Amen. Well, is that all you got? Well, that's all I can afford, right? Aren't you glad God's more generous than that? God says, here, open up the tank and I'm going to fill her full of what you need. David said, my cup runneth over. Amen. Hey, God's there and he's a generous God because he's giving. He says, according to his riches. He's given according to. He didn't say out of his riches. He said, according to his riches. That means he's given you and given you and given you some more. Every day you wake up, hey, his mercies are new, his mercies are faithful, and his mercies are overflowing to me and you as his children. Amen. My God's worth something, buddy. I mean, any of you want to put up your net worth against him, you'll pale in comparison. As I said, the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and all that crowd, they might have thought they was rich at some time. Can I tell you, God is richer than all of them put together. Praise his name. Amen. Hey, I've got a father that is rich. And you see what he says? He said, this father, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He said that you'd be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Oh, listen, God's got enough to give, and then he's got some more and some more and more. You know what that means? Listen, you ever seen people come into the church? And I have. I mean, you know, they'll feel like they'll give God a little tip. I mean, they may be worth, you know, tons and tons and tons of money, and the offering plate comes by, and they'll throw in, oh, maybe $20 or maybe $50 or whatever, and they'll, oh, well, look, I gave. Can I tell you, God lives up to his dignity. You know what? A man that's dignified, that's got it, ought to give. Amen? I mean, you ought to give up to your dignity. Can I tell you, my Heavenly Father is so rich that he gives up to his dignity to the highest amount. Whatever it is that's needed, God says, that's no problem. I've got it covered. Amen. Woo, that's how rich my God is. I'm talking about his worth now. My God, you and I can talk about his worth. I want you to notice his worth. And his worth is found in the fact that he's our rightful father. He's our rich father. And then I'm going to tell you this. He is our rewarding father. He rewards me and you every day. Look what he says in verse number 19. He's talking about how that his prayer, Paul is praying his prayer in verse 14 and following. He said that, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, he says, with all saints, what is the breadth and the depth and the height and the length and the depth and the height. And listen, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo, can I tell you, there's a reward from this Father. What's he going to do? As I said, he's going to fill you up with a fullness. The fullness of God. Not the fullness of man, not the fullness of religion. But I'm telling you, thank God, he gives you, he rewards you. How does he reward us, preacher? Well, he tells us here in verse number 16 that he empowers us by dwelling in us. Look here in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. He's going to empower you by that Spirit. Amen. Not only that, he says in verse 17, you're going to be indwelt by Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then in verse number 18 and 19, he says that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 17, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. Amen. Did you know that the love of Christ is all of those things? It has length, it has depth, it has height, and it has width. I mean, it's got it all. How big is it? I can't tell you. And he said, I just want y'all to know it all. And he said, and when you know it, hey, you'll be filled up with the fullness of God. He said, that's what I'm praying that you get. Oh, that you and I could get there and get that. Amen? That we'd understand about all of those things, about the love of God. I mean, you're just completely encompassed by the love of God. Amen? So you notice his worth. You know, our God's, you ought to give something unto him because of his worth. You ought to praise him because of his worth. You ought to be ready to sing to him because of his worth. We ought to stand here and say, oh, how I love Jesus because of who he is. Not that somebody would hear you, not that somebody would notice you, not that somebody would praise you, but thank God they'd look up and they'd praise him. Amen. Amen. Oh, I've heard old preachers get up and just, you know, preach a word of God. And I mean, they butcher the English language and they didn't understand an outline from an outlaw. And they had no idea about hermeneutics. They didn't know anything about structure. They didn't know anything. All they knew is that God saved them and called them to preach. And there's a spreading that word. Amen. There's wanting somebody to get saved. Amen. Amen. They didn't know any of that stuff. But you know what they did know? They knew there's a God that loved them, and he loved them, and they loved him in return. They just loved him. I mean, they just wanted to go to church and worship him. And brother, can I tell you, that's what it's all about, that you and I understand he has that greatest worth. Amen? We understand and we see his worth. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Notice his working. Notice him in his working. I mean, Unto God. Notice his work. Listen to how Paul phrases this. And he says in verse 20, now unto him, listen, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I mean, just listen to those words. Somebody has said, and there's been, you know, guys from long ago, Paul even had to make up some words to say all that. There was no superlatives really in the Greek or in perhaps even in the Aramaic. I mean, in any kind of language at that time, there was no way he could tell you how great that it was to understand about the Lord. That there just wasn't it. But listen to what he says, or about his ability. He said, now unto him that is able. Amen. First of all, I want you to look at this, that we see that it is his ability. It's his ability. How he works, it's because he's able. You know, we wonder sometimes, well, God, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing it this way? Why are you not doing it how I think it ought to be? Because God's the one that's able, and you and I are not able. Amen. We might want it. We might think we know. We might have a plan and a scheme, but God's the one that's able. Aren't you glad God's still able? Amen. Can God save sinners? He's still able. Amen. Can God pour out a blessing on a group like this? He's still able. Can God come into your life and give you direction and wisdom and help and grace? He's still able. Amen. I'm telling you, I got a God that's able. I believe there's a lot of folks that think God's got disabled. I believe there's a lot of folks that God used to, but he can't no more. God is still able. Paul said, now unto him that's able. Amen. Can I tell you, my God's still able. My God's still the one that spoke on that very first part of the Bible and said, let there be light. And you know what? He's able to make light. Amen. He looked at the land, at the world, and there was just void and formless. And he said, let there be land, thank God. And that land came up out of the water. Hey, he's able. God's still able, y'all. He hadn't lost any strength. He hadn't lost any power. He hadn't lost anything about his attributes that we understand. Hey, God's still able today. The problem's right here. Me and you. We try to think he's not able. We try to move him down a notch. We try to put him on a little plastic pedestal and put him in the door of the dash of our car and let him wobble around. That's not God. He's not somebody on a picture on a wall somewhere. He's not somebody hanging on a cross. Amen. I'm telling you, I got a God that's able, friend. He's still able today. Amen. I'm talking about his working. God's still able to work in men's lives today. Amen. I mean, if it's going to get done, it's going to be him. You know why? Because you and I are not able. I cannot save anyone, and neither can you. But God is able. Amen. I can't bless anybody until God does something for me. I can't be a blessing. I can't get there. Why? Because He's the one that's able. You and I've got to realize that it's not anything within or of us, but that God, He is able. So I want you to notice, it's by His ability in His working. Not only that, I'm glad of this. It's not just in His ability that He's able, but look at His abundance. Look what Paul says. Now unto him that's able, listen, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look at His abundance. Can I tell you something? I can go outside, you can today, and you can bask in the goodness of the sunshine. Amen? Can I tell you? It'll be there. It's there today. It's been there for thousands of years before this. And as long as the Lord's will, it'll be here years after today. You know why? Because there's an abundance there. There's an abundance of power. There's an abundance of sunshine. There's an abundance. And it ain't run out. It just hadn't. You know why? Because God put it there. And He put it there for a purpose. And it's got an abundance. It has y'all, anybody remember when the sun's gone out? I didn't think so. You know what? Historians don't have a day when the sun's gone out, when the sun's lost its power, when the sun didn't. There's never been a day. There's been some cloudy days, but the sun was still shining on the other side of them clouds. There've been some rainy days, but the sun is still shining on the other side of that rain. I'm telling you, there's an abundance. Can I tell you, God's got that kind of abundance, amen. He's able because of His abundance. He said, as I say, Paul had to make up some words here. He said, exceeding abundantly above. God's able to do what? He said, well, it's just bigger than I can explain to you. It's more than I can tell you. As I say, you know, we have superlative words. We have good, better, and best. And what's better than the best? Paul said, I ain't even got a word for that. Exceeding abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. Hey, that's what He's able to do. He can do, well, God, can you do this? I can do more than that. Well, God, can you save my family? I can do better than that. I can save them, and then I can change their lives, and I can give them a heritage, and I can give them kids that'll walk in there. I can keep it going on down the line. Amen. Can I tell you, God's able, and He has an abundance in that ability. We've got a God that when He works, Brother Ronnie's throwed this word around this morning in Sunday school class. We were talking about cobbling things together. Y'all know what, you ever heard that before? My mother loved that word, I reckon. I'd say something, you know what says, said, that's something your daddy cobbled together. And you would look at it. I mean, brother, the duct tape was on it. Amen. I mean, the glue had been applied. I mean, the whatever, something didn't match, colors didn't look right, whatever, throw it together. We'll make something here. Hallelujah for that. It's cobbled. Amen. You know what my ability and my working, it'll look like something cobbled together. But when God does it, it's done to perfection. Amen. Oh, listen. God did not make man haphazardly. He did not make man in some kind of strange, perverted way. He made man perfectly in the beginning. Sin has deformed us. Amen. God formed us. Sin has deformed. Only Christ can transform us. Amen. Out of this old sinful mess we're in, back into what we ought to be. But can I tell you, it's according. Amen? It's according to Him in His abundance. He has exceedingly, abundantly above. Can I tell you, there ain't been a day that the stars didn't shine. Hey, there ain't been a day that the rain didn't fall somewhere. How did that happen? There's an abundance of it. Thank God, and it's all because it's within God's realm and God's ability. And thank God, He does it abundantly. Amen. Amen. You look and see what happens when Elijah prays. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Hadn't rained for 3 years and 6 months. And Elijah begins to pray for rain. We're in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. And you're looking at, he looks at his little servant boy and he says, go look and see if you see any rain. The little boy goes out and comes back and says, I don't see nothing. He goes and he goes, you know, he goes on a seventh time. He comes back and he said, I see a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. He said, you go tell the king there is what? An abundance of rain. Why? Because God provides abundantly. And then the next thing you know, here's Elijah running through the rain, pulled up his garments, and he's running through a flood of water toward the city to where the king is. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, God does what He does in abundance. He does it in abundance. He's working. He's able. He does it in abundance. And He does it according to His power. He says, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you realize it's the power of God when you get saved? It's the power of God that works in you. That same power. That same power. Somebody wrote a song and said, that same power that raised Jesus up, it's on the inside of me and you. Do you realize? It's the same power. Why is it? Because it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And if He's in there, and Paul just said, right here He is, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a spiritual power that God gives His children. Most of us don't know what to do or how to do or to do anything. I'm telling you, He's able. And He works according to that power that's on the inside of every one of us. Amen? All right, let's notice one last thing, if you will. Let's notice this. As you get to the end of this, he said, according to the power that worketh, verse number 21, he says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He says, unto Him be glory. Unto Him. You know what that means? Don't glory in being a Baptist. Don't glory in having your name on Old Bethel Baptist Church roll. Don't glory in the fact that you live here in Georgia and you're a Southerner and you're a Baptist and people glory in all that kind of mess. That's not what you glory in. He says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I want to tell you, first of all, in this idea of you notice the word, notice that there is a charge given unto us. Unto Him be glory. Don't you glory, as I said, in the preacher. Don't you glory in His words. Don't you glory in a preacher's eloquence or a preacher's knowledge or a preacher's outline or a preacher's way. Or don't you glory in a singer and his song and his voice and all that. Yet we glory too many times in the wrong thing. Unto Him be glory. You know what that means? Me and you ought to be saying, glory to God. It ain't unto some man. It ain't glory unto the president. It ain't glory to the government. It ain't glory to the church heads. It ain't glory to the deacons. It ain't glory to the preacher. It's glory to God. Amen. That's what he said. Unto Him be glory. The church needs to understand we need to glory in the Lord. Amen. Wow. I mean, isn't that what Paul just kind of, as I said, this little preaching thing gets broke out in him. He gets to going, woo, y'all, hang on a minute. I'm about to have one of them glory bumps pop up here, and I'm having a spell. Unto Him be glory. Unto God be the glory. Unto God the Father. I mean, that's a charge to me and you. He's not just saying it just to be saying it. I want you to notice what he says there in verse 20 when he starts this out. He says, now. You see that word now? That word now could mean to the same thing. So, let's say so, or therefore. I mean, it would all be the same kind of thing. Now, in other words, it's a word that means now. Let's, you know, do this. I mean, it's a phrase that gives us the idea that what he's about to say is something that you need to understand is to a charge and a push toward me and you. Now unto him, and he could have said it again in verse 21, now unto him be glory in the church. I want you to understand this. This glory is a charge to me and you that we ought to be giving glory to God. I mean, look, you and I are to honor God the Father. You know, as I said, that's what we're here for, right? I used to work at Walmart. Hallelujah. Sister Georgia did too, right? In the break room over in Fort Oglethorpe, anyway. It probably wasn't a lot of the others. In a break room, there used to be a sign there when you went in, and it said, today's stock price. And they always gave you the stock price, how much one piece of stock of Walmart was, you know, so many dollars, whatever it is. I guarantee you right now it's about $90-something dollars. Amen? Now, I don't know how I know that, but I know it. If you want to check it, look and see. It's about probably $95, $96. But anyway, you go in there and that sign there said, today's stock price is 95 or whatever it is, you know. And at the bottom of it, it would say, tomorrow depends on you. What does that mean, preacher? It means you and I ought to come into church and we'll say, today, the church service is this. But tomorrow, tonight, Wednesday night, depends on you. It may be this today, but what's it going to be at the next time we get together? It's going to be whatever you bring. It's going to be what, in other words, what they were trying to get us to do was have some pride in our work and take a real special notice and try to do what was right to customers and help people and do so it would improve the stock price by people shopping there more, buying more. Can I tell you, me and you all get in here and worship God. We ought to be saying, unto God be the glory. And let somebody else get woke up and say, hey, what are they doing down there? They're praising God. They've gone to worship. They're singing like nobody's business. That little fat preacher's a preaching his head off. I mean, stuff's a going on. Amen. And what's it going to be at the next time? It ought to be that plus, amen? It ought to be that and then some. Oh, thank God, am I here to tell you this morning? Hey, it's in the way that we worship Him. I want you to notice His worship. He has a worth. He is definitely worth something. And He is working. You can see how He does it exceeding abundantly above all. He's able to do those things. But thank God, Paul says, now unto Him be some glory. I mean, think about what all God is and what He's doing. We ought to just be shouting and praising and worshiping God. Amen. We ought to be. But can I tell you, tomorrow depends on you. How's this thing going to be? We're going to drag around? Oh, how I love Jesus. It's about the way we look sometimes. And me included. Amen. But I'm telling you, tomorrow depends on you. How's the next service? How's the next time we get together? What in the world is going to happen when we come together to worship God? I'm telling you, you notice the charge unto Him be glory. I mean, all of this is in the hands of the church. The honor of God our Father is in your hands. Amen? What I mean is when you go outside these doors, you're carrying the honor of God out there. And people are going to see through your life and what you're doing. And they're going to say, you know, there's somebody, they're different. I notice they're praying when they stop to eat. I notice they're not cursing. I notice they're not over here with the drunks and the druggies. And they don't use that old foul language. And they're not acting like, hey, brother, we're out here. You're bringing the honor. You're carrying the honor of God our Father when you go outside these doors. It's in your hands. Amen? It's in your hands. It's in my hands. How are we going to? Listen, there's a lot of stuff I don't do And you know why I don't do it? I don't do it because I'm afraid what it'll imply against God. You know how people are? Well, I thought they were a Christian. Why are they dressed like that? Why do they talk like that? Why do they go there? I thought he was a preacher. Look at how he's acting. The honor of God our Father is in your hands. You're holding it. Every time you walk out of these doors, somebody's looking. You say, well, that's not fair, preacher. I was having a bad day. I got it. We all have bad days. But you're still to represent, and you do represent the honor. You carry the honor of God our Father in your hands. I mean, people are looking at you. Well, I've seen his car down there at the church. He must be one of them. But look at him, what he's out here doing now. Don't that stab you? Don't that hit you? Because that's the truth. That's the truth. That's what it's all about. I mean, he says, this is the charge unto him be glory. And I want you to notice this, that he talks about not just the charge, but he talks about the church. Unto him be glory. What does he say? In the church. You know this stuff's supposed to be going on at church? Amen? My in-laws, before they passed away, my mother-in-law worked up in Nashville. And they couldn't. They hunted for a church and tried to find a church. And the closest thing they could find to what they was used to, there was a Church of God down the road. And they started going there, and we'd go up there and visit, and we'd go to church with them sometime, whenever, you know, if we were able. Went to church, and one Sunday the preacher got up there, and he was preaching. And I'm just telling you, it was a different Church of God. I mean, it'd fit right in here with y'all this morning. It's sitting, just look at you. You know. Amen. Well, anyway, they're sitting there looking at the preacher. And he said, do you know what they're saying about y'all out there in the community? He said, they're calling us a bunch of holy rollers. He said, they say we get up and dance around and shout and carry on and got all this, you know, and so on and so forth. Kind of the stereotypical thought of a Church of God person or church. And he said, and you know what? He said, you ought to be at least a little guilty of it. Amen? He said, all y'all doing is just sitting there. And you know what they did? They just sat there and looked at him. And that's the way that we are. But I'm telling you, in the church, he said that this thing's supposed to, there ought to be glory in the church. Now, I don't mean you've got to run and shout and hang from the chandeliers and hoo, and you know, I'm not saying, if you want to, it's okay. But if you don't, I think we've got to develop that real spirit of worship where we understand that in the church, this is a different place, okay? Church is a different place. When you come to church, you've come to church to do something with and for and in the name of our Lord. You're here for that, right? Isn't that what we're here for? Amen. As I say, like that guy said, y'all be a little bit guilty of it. When we come to church, he said, unto him be glory in the church. When people come into church, I mean, what should they expect? If you go on to a whole lot of different church websites. Now, me and Sister Lynn do this a lot. We just want to see what somebody else's website looks like. But whenever you look at a website from church, you know what a lot of them have in there? Down their little list of, you know, where we're at and what we, when our service times are. And then and one little thing on there say, what to expect when you come to our church. Amen? What to expect? I mean, I want to click on them sometimes and say, is it going to say, come in shouting, hooping, hollering, or are you going to get run over? Or, I mean, you know, I don't know what to expect. And I'm telling you, That's what I don't know what to expect sometimes. Now I know we talk about it, but we do have a semblance, I guess we'd say, of order. We have a starting time. We're going to sing. We're going to take up offering. We're going, you know, we do things in a methodical order. But isn't it wonderful sometimes when God gets in there and says, "Let me kick all that out of the way and let's just go to meeting." Amen. Amen? Yeah. What to expect? I don't know what to expect sometimes. But there ought to be some glory down at the church when you get there. There ought to be somebody singing glory. There ought to be somebody praising God and giving glory. There ought to be a lot of things going on. And all of it ought to be aimed toward giving glory unto God. All right? Let's look at one last thing real quickly. In the church. And then I want you to notice that he says that this should be a continual thing. Unto him be glory in the church. by Christ Jesus. He says, throughout all ages, world without end. Now, why did he use those two little, almost seemingly the same thing, throughout all ages and world without end? Well, that first phrase, throughout all ages, I believe he means through all the church ages to come. Now, and as long as the church is down here, and then when he says world without end, it ought to be going, let me tell you, it is going on in heaven right now. As the old preacher say, you're living in the quietest world you'll ever live in. This is the quietest place. Because when you get to heaven, if you're saved, buddy, it's going to be shouting. It's going to be singing. It's going to be worship. It's going to be praise. And it's going to be, well, if there was 24-7, it'd be 24-7. Amen. It's going to be continual. And that's what Paul says. There ought to be praise unto him, glory unto him, worship of him. And it ought to be continual. That ought to not stop. You know what that means? It ought to be going on down in here in your heart at all times. Wherever you are, you ought to be thinking about him, worshiping him, and praising him. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song. Hey, unto him. Unto him.